I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, and welcome to this segment. I am Buddy Shula. We are here with PB Elder Law and Don Mishka, who is an attorney at PB Elder Law. You can go see them online at pbelderlaw.com or just Google them. We're going to be talking about protecting your home here with Don today. And I highly recommend PB Elder Law for anyone who's looking for their services. I know, you know, all the attorneys here, and they're just very, very professional. So welcome to the show, Don.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. But what I really want to know is, what can people do to protect their home if they need to go into a nursing home? So, for instance, somebody has to go in a nursing home. So, and that means they leave their regular home behind. All right. What did they have to do to that home they left behind?
Well, that's a question I get all the time. Somebody maybe going into a nursing home immediately, or maybe they're planning so that they don't have to go into a nursing home. Hopefully, you've done planning ahead of time before you go into a nursing home to protect your house. Because for the majority of people, the house is their main asset, okay? So there's ways to protect your house. And again, hopefully you do that before you go into a nursing home. So one way to do that is to add your children as co-owners on the property with you, and you retain what's called a life estate in the property. So your children are co-owners of the property with you. You have a life estate. That's one option. Another option is to place your house in what's called an irrevocable trust. An irrevocable trust is the only type of a trust that protects what you put in that from Medicaid, subject to the 5-year look back period, just like placing your house with your children as co-owners and you retaining a life estate, still subject to that 5-year look back. But that's why it's important people should start planning well ahead of time to, you know, protect their home, protect their assets, so that if they are in that situation, they're not worried about, my gosh, what's going to happen to my house? Am I going to lose my house?
Okay, so these are really important topics, and I really want to talk about this because it's very important that people seek out the right advice and to seek out the right advocates for them to do this the right way. I mean, because this is messy stuff if it's not done the right way, correct?
Yes, yes. So, yeah, and if it's not done the right way, then what? All that planning and what you did, you can just throw it out the window then.
So we're here with Don Mishka from PB Elder Law. The phone number is 716-204-1055. That's 716-204-1055. If you'd like to talk to Don directly, her extension is 114. Okay, so what can people do to protect their home to avoid that nasty word of probate?
Good question. It sort of works the same way. So if you're looking to protect your house from having to go through probate, first of all, what is probate? So I explain to clients that probate is when somebody dies, that decedent leaves behind an asset, be it their house or a car or a bank account, that was only in the decedent's name, and there was no co-owner surviving the decedent or no beneficiary on that asset. So if that asset doesn't have a surviving co-owner or a named beneficiary, then that asset goes through probate. To avoid your house by going through probate, you can, again, place it into an irrevocable trust. That only not only protects your house if you go into a nursing home and need to apply for Medicaid, but it also avoids probate. The same thing with putting your house with a life estate, your co-owners on the property with your kids, and you have a life estate, you pass away, the property automatically goes to the children on the house. So it avoids probate, but it's still, again, still subject to that 5-year penalty, that 5-year look back by Medicaid.
So what your firm, PB Elder Law, does is they take these situations, you basically give your clients a plan where these things are protected. It's a well thought out plan. You tie up all the loose ends, you put it in a bow, and they can have some security on knowing where, you know, and things are going and what's protected. And I think that's awesome, because so many people, you know, I think don't know about these types of things. And, obviously not a lot of people, you know, are thinking about them all the time until they reach a certain age. But what you said before is that people should start thinking about them earlier. In your line of work, what is the average age of the person? What is an age of a person who should start talking to folks at PB Elder Law?
Well, anybody, if you're a younger individual in your 30s or 40s, you're not necessarily planning for Medicaid, okay? But you should be planning, you know, having your will, healthcare proxy, power of attorney, your disposition of remains, having those documents in place, you know, if you're 30, 40, or 50 years of age. When you start getting, you know, in your 60s and 70s, you're close to retirement age, that's a different type of thinking. Yes, you want to avoid probate. You want to make sure you have your estate planning documents in place. But then you're also thinking about protecting those assets if you go into a nursing home.
Okay, again, we're here with Dawn Mishka from PB Elder Law. They are right on Cayuga, right by the airport in Cheektowaga. That's where their office is. If you'd like to schedule a consultation or appointment with them, you can do that at 716-204-1055. That's 716-204-1055. So let's move over to life estates. What's a life estate?
So a life estate is when a parent adds their children as co-owners on their house, on the deed to their house with the parent, and the parent has a life estate, which means the parent has the right to continue to live in the property. They still get the benefit of any senior, star, veterans, exemptions on the property. They have to pay the property taxes, the insurance, repairs, and upkeep and maintenance. But it's for that parent's lifetime. And when that parent then passes away, if the children are listed as co-owners and the parent has a life estate, the house automatically, 100% interest then in the property, is transferred or inherited by the children as the surviving co-owners on the property.
I'm just curious, what if the owners of the house who, you know, put their kids in this, what if there's a mortgage on that house? What happens?
That's a good question, because I get that question, honestly, all the time. So if the parent has a mortgage, a current mortgage on the property, and they're adding their children as co-owners and the parents are retaining a life estate, even though there's a mortgage on that property, that's okay. The bank is not going to come knocking on the parent's door and say, all right, you changed the ownership, now you owe us the balance of the mortgage. No, the law specifically says if you're transferring the property to your children or even into a trust, and you are still the beneficiary of that asset, okay, the bank cannot call the mortgage, so to speak.
All right. So as long as your mortgage is paid on time, the bank's getting their money, everything's good probably.
Yeah, they're not going to care. They're not going to care.
So one last question here. We have a couple minutes, but we want to talk about this. Is a life estate, like we were just talking about with the parents, including people, you know, on that, how is a life estate different from a trust?
Good question, buddy. You always have good questions. I love it.
Well, it's always good when I got a good mentor.
So the big difference is with a trust, the parent is giving up their ownership to the property, and they're transferring that ownership to the trustee of their trust. And the trustee now is the custodian over the property. But the parent still has the right to live in the property. They still pay the property taxes, the insurance. They still get the exemptions and all of that. So with a trust, the parent gives up the ownership right to the property. Versus a life estate, the parent still has an ownership interest, but now they don't own 100% interest in the property. It's a substantial reduction of their ownership interest. And it's not based on how many children who are on the deed. It's based under IRS law as to what the parent's ownership interest is. It may be 10% this month. It may increase to 20% the following month. It fluctuates based on the interest rates. So with the life estate, the parent still has an ownership interest, but it's substantially reduced from 100%. With a trust, they give up their ownership interest.
So these are kind of similar, but they're different. And I would suppose that it depends on what they want the outcome and what their current situation is to decide, you know, which they would want, the life estate or the trust scenario.
Right, exactly. With a life estate, though, because your children are co-owners, so if your children have credit problems, bankruptcies, now those credit problems and their bankruptcy, if they're a co-owner on your house, and even if though you have a life estate, their creditors, your children's creditors, are now knocking on your door and saying, you owe us money because your child is default on their loan or whatever. Versus a trust, if it's under a trust, and if your children are the trustees, their creditors are not knocking on your door. Their creditors cannot touch what you place in the trust for them. So I always explain to clients with the life estate, you got the benefit of living there, but the burden that your children may bring unintentionally, if they have, you know, credit problems, divorces, those types of issues.
This is a great topic. And if you want more information, I would highly recommend to talk to the folks at PB Elder Law. The phone number again for your consultation is 716-204-1055. You do not want to let these things wait. Again, that phone number is 716-204-1055. If you'd like to talk to Dawn in general, her extension there is 114. You can also see him online at pbelderlaw.com. Don, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You're very informative and helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.